What is up, everybody? This is the Rafters Podcast, brought to you by Couch Guys Sports. I'm your host, Liam, here with Dante today, missing Connor, but that's all right. The two of us will carry on the show strong. Dante, how are you?
I'm doing good, my man. We are going to hold down this episode without Connor. Me and you, we got this one. We've done our podcast before together, just us two, so I think we can handle this.
Couple of seasoned vets. I'm definitely not too worried about it. Connor's a big loss, but nothing we can't carry a little extra load for. I hope your back's ready to hold a little extra.
Oh, I got this. We'll talk some Celtics. We actually have something to talk about as far as, like, you know, them playing. So we have that to talk about. We have some Kemba Walker news we can get off our chest, see what's going on with him and his knees, and then we'll get into some hot takes, and we'll see where this episode takes us.
Absolutely. It honestly felt like one of the greatest days of my life, being able to watch Celtics basketball again. As depressing or not depressing as that may sound, man, it just felt good. Even though the product might not have been the best I've ever seen coming from the Celtics, I just felt good being able to look out there and see them.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just a scrimmage. It's just an exhibition game. Like, it's nothing that really matters. The starters didn't play any of the second half. They really didn't play much at all. But it's just the fact that we're able to watch basketball, just the fact that we know that it's coming back, and the way that it is, it's going to be different. Like, I won't lie, like, it is very strange seeing basketball being played without any fans. Like, it feels like I'm watching just summer league games. Like, that's literally what it feels like.
100%. To me.
And they have the jumbotrons in the back, like, they have the fake noise and stuff. Like, I won't lie. I really wasn't going to be a fan of, like, the fake noise and stuff, like the fake crowd noise, but it really wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
No, some of them were pretty funny. Did you see, like, when they missed the free throws? It'd be, not in the Celtics game, but I forget what game it was. It'd be like, eat, and
yeah,
other stuff,
yeah,
like
I did
that.
See that. I'm a fan of that. And, like, I think someone said, I forgot, an NBA player tweeted, like, you know, you should, I think it was Isaiah Thomas, actually. He was like, you know, you should play music during the games, like, to hype up the players and stuff.
That's
like
what
that.
I was thinking.
Like, they should, I feel like they'll play around with that as the season, like, goes on, and they'll, like, obviously they'll take recommendations and see what happens. But, I mean, I'm just happy. I won't complain at this point. Just, it is what it is, man.
Exactly. Take what we can get. So we'll start with that scrimmage against the Thunder. A pretty good team. I love what I've seen from the Thunder this year. I'm as big of a Chris Paul guy as it gets. And really, the Celtics just came out very, very rusty. What were your early impressions from this scrimmage?
Right away, I mean, I noticed that the defense was just, it didn't seem like they were playing with too much effort besides a handful of guys. Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart were really, I believe, the two guys that were playing the best on the defensive end. Steven Adams was just eating up Daniel Tice. He was
disgusting.
Just, I mean, I'm a Steven Adams guy. I'm a huge fan. I wish he didn't make as much money as he did, so it'd be easier to trade for someone like him. Because I think he would just be awesome on the Celtics. But that's wishful thinking. They gave up 28 first half points in the paint, which is just, they give up 43 a game during the regular season. They gave up 28 at halftime. Their defense, their paint defense just wasn't there. Marcus Smart had 3 steals in the first half. Marcus Smart just was doing Marcus Smart things. He was chucking up threes, missing threes.
Of course. You see him steal that inbounds pass?
Yeah.
That was tight.
See, that's a Marcus Smart thing. See, he was making those types of plays on defense. Like, he does all those things, which are great. I mean, Jaylen Brown looked hot. I mean, he had that first basket of the game. He hit that turnaround shot on Chris Paul. That was first play of the game, and I was just like, damn. Like,
it was great defense, too.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was all over him, Chris Paul. So it's like, I think Jaylen Brown played the best out of anyone. And then, honestly, I mean, I've been saying this all year, Tremont Waters is just, he is just a stud.
Yeah.
He is someone that I want, like, as our backup point guard next year. It was just the way he was on a two-way contract, so he can only play, be with the team for 45 days throughout the regular season. But now that the NBA is allowing 17 players on a roster instead of 15, and two-way players can play, I think it's time for Brad Wanamaker to get all his minutes taken away, and Tremont Waters needs to take up that backup point guard role, because he just looked so great out there with the second unit, and he looked like a natural backup point guard. Like, he just looked he was leading the second unit. He was making great passes. He had was playing great defense too. I just want to see more of Tremont Waters. I mean, we have the scrimmage on in a half hour after we're done recording this. Well, me and you will definitely be watching it. Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to seeing more from him. I mean, because and kind of to piggyback off of that, I mean, we can't really overhype guys based off of a scrimmage game and especially just one scrimmage game. But I was very encouraged with what I saw from him and Jaylen Brown.
Absolutely. We've seen a lot of very promising things from Tremont Waters, though it hasn't been at the NBA level. You know, he won Rookie of the Year in the G League, D League. It's the G League now. I always get that mixed up. Yeah, it's the G League now. Yeah, exactly. But I loved what I saw from him, too. I have my points, like my good, my bad points take away from the scrimmage. And Tremont Waters, just his pure fundamentals of the game, the way he can control an offense, I'm so excited to see what he can do. Brad Wanamaker came in. I know he had 1-3, and I didn't really see a whole lot else from him.
The 1-3 he had, bro, he literally had Tatum open at the top of the key the entire play. He had the ball, lost it, and then he got it back and then shot a 3. And I was like, if you didn't hit that, I would have been like, all right, take this guy out right now.
But he did. I don't like him either, though. He's very
solid. He confuses me because he's a solid player. Like he can make the right decisions. He can play smart, but then there are some games where he acts like he's the best guy on the court, and it's just like, bro, like know your role.
Yeah, exactly. A 31-year-old rookie too is a little shady to me. It's like
he played in Europe for a while.
Yeah, I know.
He has that experience.
Yeah, so I'd much rather see Tremont out there. I love what I've seen from him. I also had Jaylen Brown on my list of good things. He was. One of the few bright spots on this. I had Cantor having a double-double and actually playing some physical basketball down low.
Ennis Cantor being one of the Celtics' best players just shows how bad everyone else played that game.
Yeah, it's scary.
They had him as player of the game, and I was like, this is when you know it wasn't a great game.
Yeah, this is a scrimmage game if I've ever seen one. If Cantor has 10 and 11.
That's what Ennis Cantor does. Like, he's going to get you close to a double-double. He was getting a lot of second chance points, a lot of offensive rebounds, which which is like solid because there's not
that's how Steven Adams got most of his points of that game.
Yeah, I mean that there's no one really else on the Celtics that does it that can do what Ennis Cantor does as far as rebounding. Like Ennis Cantor is one of the best rebounders in the league. If you go by his minutes and like based off of his low amount of minutes, he's up there. Like he's up there for rebounding percentage, defensive rebounding percentage, like he makes an impact on the boards. It's just he's not the best defender. He's not that great at everything else. So it's just really hard to give him consistent minutes.
Yeah. He's another player that I go up and down with. Him and Brad Wanamaker, my opinion sways left and right. But I liked what I saw from him the other day. And you're right. His per 36 numbers are great. It's just, you know, giving him enough minutes to play him that much ends up being a huge liability on one end of the floor, and you just can't really do that in basketball. I was gonna say my last bright spot was another guy whose per 36 numbers are usually incredible, was Robert Williams actually showing some shooting potential. He had 2 or 3 mid-range jumpers, you know, 14 foot like out there, and anything in this game as a big man, you need to be able to space the floor in any asset. You can't really have a DeAndre Jordan type player anymore because that's just not a role for that in the league anymore. So to see him expand his range in any sense was great. Grant Williams had an alley-oop to him as well. He struggled on the defensive end, gave up a couple of terrible threes. But overall,
he was like jumping all over the place too. Yeah. Like he was just biting at every
pump fake.
I think that's his biggest weakness right now. It's just like he's a great defender. Like I think per 36, correct me if I'm wrong, he averages like 5 blocks a game.
Something like that.
Like it's up there. It's just he needs to learn how like to be in the right position, to be in the right, put himself in the right situations on defense. Like he can't just be jumping at everything. He can't be like he's super athletic and he'll like if someone goes up, like he'll block the shit out of it if they go up with it. But they always get him to bite a lot of the time. So he needs to work on that. But I'm very encouraged, too, by his mid-range. Like, the first one he took, it was the start of the second half. I remember I was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
And the announcers were like, whoa, Robert Williams shooting mid-range. And they're just like, we don't know if we'll be seeing, like, We don't know if he's doing this because there's no one else out there or what it is. But, I mean, like you said, the typical NBA center nowadays needs to be able to shoot. Like, there's no role in the NBA for people that can't shoot. I mean, you have to have some sort of jumper. And starting off with the mid-range, you know, that's a good start. Because as athletic as he is, as great as he is on defense, quick running up and down the floor, he was going to have to develop a jump shot at some point. So seeing, I mean, this is the best time for him to start, like, you know, busting it out and seeing how it works.
Absolutely. And it just opens up a whole new set of plays for him. You know, if all you can do is hit him on the roll or throw alley-oops to him, it's very limited, you know. Get him in some mid-range, some pick-and-pops and stuff like that. It's just a whole new asset of the game that you can open up for him. And hopefully one day he can spread it out a little more. And once he gets comfortable there, maybe he can move it to the three-point line with some wishful thinking. You never know.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, I think Grant Williams, too. He hit a three during the game as well, and that's not something we usually would see from him a lot during the regular season, especially the first few games. He was like 0 for 30 to start the season or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
He was a pretty solid shooter in college, too, which is crazy. I think he might have just been like, I don't know. I wouldn't say he was nervous, because going 0 for 30 like isn't nervous. That's just you like not being a good shooter. But if he can honestly, if Grant Williams can come off the bench and start like hitting threes, you know, I'm not asking him to be like a sharp shooter, but if he can shoot like, you know, 33-35%, like, yeah, I'd take that. You know, if he comes in, plays solid defense, hit a few open threes, like, that would be huge for the Boston bench.
And that's what I expect him to be. I loved him at Tennessee. His shooting motion is really fucking good. And his shooting motion isn't anything ugly. Like, he doesn't pull up and you're like, oh, gross, you know? Like,
yeah.
He has a decent jumper. So you would expect it to go in more than, you know, 0 of 30 times or whatever the hell he's been shooting. And whenever he does hit a three now, his scowl's always like, oh, look at him in the threes. It's just like, unfortunately, people are surprised to see him do it now. But I thought he would be an all-around spark plug for the bench, just a great hustle guy, strong on the defensive end even though he's undersized. And he can throw alley-oops to other players. He's an above-average passer. And overall, if he can get that three-point shot consistently, he'd be a much better scorer than he already is, which I love what I've seen from him this year in general. I'm a big Grant Williams guy.
Yeah, he's a huge hustle player. Like, he's like a bigger Marcus Smart, kind of. I think his career trajectory is going to be kind of like him, where he's going to start off just, like, absolute awful shooter. And then, like, as the years go on, he'll just slowly get better and better.
Yeah, but settle into a role.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, you know, as a rookie, he was given, like, a lot of minutes as a rookie. I mean, for the Celtics, I mean, you look at years past, like, Romeo Langford, I mean, granted he was hurt, but when he came back healthy, he barely saw the court. When Jaylen Brown got drafted, he only played, like, 18, 19 minutes a game, if that. And he was the third overall pick. Because you get put, when you're drafted as a rookie, and you're put onto a team that, you know, is a top-tier team, a team that's in contention, like, they usually have the rotation set up already, so it's like you have to find your role. How are you going to be able to fit into that lineup? But what's so great about Orlando and this bubble and, you know, the whole no fan stuff is that we're going to see guys that really don't have – that wouldn't have, like, breakout performances or, like, even shoot that well have much better performances now, because it's like you have no pressure – you're going to have no – don't have to worry about playing at away games, home games even. Like, it's just – it's like a – every game is going to be like a scrimmage kind of. Like, it's just going to be like – I mentioned it's going to be like summer league. Like, it's not going to be as stressed. It's not going to be as, like, stressful. It's not going to be as crazy as a normal game would be. It's like players are going to be more relaxed. They're going to be able to go out there, like, play that they would during practice. And I think that means we'll see better performances out of guys like Grant Williams – Robert Williams, too. I mean, and I think that benefits guys like any guy off the bench. If Tremont Waters, Carson Edwards got some minutes, too.
Yeah.
Didn't play the best, but I feel like he's someone that could benefit off of it. It's a shame. It really is, because I think Carson Edwards has so much potential as being like an
average. Breaks my heart.
It does, bro. He was considered, like, everyone was like, wow, he was a steal. Like, the fact that he went, like, 33 to Boston, like, lighting it up in the NCAA tournament as much as he did, like, he can be such a spark plug for the Celtics. He just needs to figure it out. He really does.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite players in college last year. Every time Purdue was on, I would tune in.
Purdue, bro, he was so nasty. He set so many records, too, in the NCAA. Like, 3-pointers. Like, I think he had most. I actually wrote a thing about it, Hunt. I wanna make sure I get this right.
Of course, you got to give him the love he deserves because he is a great player. And in the preseason for the Celtics, he had 9 threes in two quarters.
The Cavs.
Yeah. So he is a great shooter. I don't know if he's got the JR syndrome where he's just so streaky it hurts, or it's just like he still kind of has the NBA jitters and he's settling in.
Yeah. So this is these are the records that Carson Edwards has in college. Oh, he set the individual record for most 3-pointers made in a single NCAA tournament with 28. And keep in mind, the Purdue didn't make it that far. Like they won a few games, but like they didn't, you know, go crazy far. So 28 threes. He scored the most points through 4 games in the history of the NCAA tournament, which is 139 points within 4 games.
Fuck.
And to add to that, he is the only player in tournament history to make 9 or more 3-pointers in multiple games. Like, the guy was an absolute flamethrower in college. Like, the guy was lighting it up. And I mean,
that's almost 35 points per game, too.
Dude, he was absolutely tearing it up during the tournament. And it's just like, You see that and you're like, wow, how did that guy go 33 in the draft? Then we actually get him, we play him, looked well in the preseason. And then he comes in and he's just like, he shot 31% from three this year, averaged 3 points a game. It's just like, he's a guy that I thought could come in and average like 7 or 8 points as a rookie. Like, kind of like has that Eddie House kind of feel to him. Like, can come in, hit some shots for us when we need it. Like, I'm still optimistic that he can become that player. Can be that player in time. He just needs to. He just needs to figure it out. There's nothing. That's all it is.
Absolutely, and I really hope he does because he is box office. Like, he's entertainment.
It would suck if he turned into a bust. It really would.
Yeah, man, I love that guy.
What would your overall thoughts, like, if you were to give the Celtics a teammate grade for the game? What would you give them? I'd give them a C because. Yeah. First game back, obviously, seeing them being rusty as they were, not a great thing, but it's also, like, not something to, like, you know, be pissed off about. Like, you should have expected it to go the way that it did. Like, obviously, we want to see them win. They lost by 14, which sucks, but you can't really be too upset. It's a scrimmage game. It doesn't mean anything. But, you know, today I want to see Tatum shoot better than 0 for 5 or 1 for 5, whatever he shot. I want to see him actually hit shots. I want to see Gordon Hayward play. I mean, Gordon Hayward didn't have that bad of a game, but I want to see guys other than Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, like, do solid stuff. Like, I want to see everyone play at least somewhat like they were before the season was suspended, and just, like, pick it. Look, I want them to look better than they did last game.
Of course. I want plays that jump off my screen, you know? If I have to give a grade for them in the last game, I'll be a little harsh, and I'll give them a D+. Like, I did not like what I was watching. You brought it up earlier. The defense was terrible. They had horrible defensive adjustments.
They were playing zone,
too. Yeah. And they would crowd three men to cover one guy, and then he would just kick it back out to three and have a wide-open shooter. You said Jason Tatum shot 1 of 6. The dude was goddamn 16% from the field. The Thunder were shooting 51% from the field at halftime. Just disgusting. Yeah. You cannot allow that.
Yeah, the Celtics finished the game shooting 44% from the field and 21% from three.
21% from three is atrocious.
they weren't hitting anything. So it's just like, you see those numbers, and it's like, okay. There's no way they can get worse from that. So it's like they have to improve after that game.
Oh, of course. And it's like, I'm not giving them a D- because, like, I'm salty and, like, I hate that, like, the product that I saw. Like, I knew they were going to be rusty. I knew it was going to be great. And, of course, when Kemba's not playing, that's, like, that's a person who runs the offense, you know? Everything else is not usual for them. He's the kind of guy that rallies all the troops, and he's supposed to get all the great looks. He's the quarterback of the field, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we have to mention that, too. I mean, Kemba Walker didn't play. I mean,
at all.
If Kemba Walker isn't healthy, if he's not playing, I mean, which he's looking healthy now. It seems like he will be ready to go for the regular season games. He might even play today. He's a game time decision for today. But the Celtics can only go as far as Kemba Walker can take them. Breaking news, Kemba Walker is in the starting lineup.
So
I wanted to check. I was just checking Twitter. Kemba Walker is playing today. you can bet your ass that he is only going to play like 10 yeah. minutes or something. Like, he is not going to play load that management. Much. But like I was saying before, I just said that the Celtics can only go as far as guys like Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward will take them, since they are the two guys that get injured the most. If you have just Jason and Jalen, yes, they can do great things together, but they will not take you far in the playoffs just by themselves. Like, they need Kemba to be there. They need Gordon Hayward to be there. And Gordon Hayward looks fine. I'm just saying him because yeah. he's been hurt throughout the year. But if Kemba Walker's hurt and he's not playing, if he's not his full self, the Celtics can be in some trouble for the playoffs.
Absolutely. Did you see, I meant to ask too, Javonte Green toward the end of the game, he was getting mm-hmm. some valuable minutes, and he had some mean cuts to the basket that I really liked. He wasn't really a player that, you know, jumped off my screen or anything where I was forced to notice him, but he had a couple of good buckets, and it just makes me wonder what he could do for this team. Because he's a house.
He's a solid player. I've always liked Javonte Green because he comes in, and he definitely brings that energy when he comes into the game, because he's a highlight reel player.
Yeah.
If he throws out a nasty dunk, like, that gets everyone hyped up. He really, when he goes in, the thing with Javonte Green is when he goes in, you're not going to expect him to make the wrong play. Like, when yes. in his limited minutes, he's going to do all the right things because he knows his role. He knows he's not going in there to give you 10, 15 points. He knows that he's in there to kind of just, like, fill in a spot for that lineup. Like, he's not going to be in that game for too long. So he goes in, makes the most of his minutes, comes out, and everyone loves him. I mean, he's a great player. He's someone that I think could get solid minutes if there's an injury. Like, if someone, like, let's say Kemba Walker he misses a game and Marcus Smart goes into the starting lineup, Javonte Green can get some good minutes off the bench for the team. Like, I would not mind seeing him get more minutes than he does personally.
Absolutely, and that's a good point. He really does know his role. He knows he's a wing player. He's not out there taking too many threes, or like Marcus Smart used to, where you blow up and you're like, dude, stop shooting, you know. Most yeah. of the time, mm-hmm. he's getting the easy buckets. He's getting the hustle points. He does have the occasional highlight reel stuff. To me, him and Semi Ojeleye are basically like the same player in my eyes. Like, yeah. Semi shoots a little more, so like mm-hmm. you expect more shooting from Semi, but for the most part, they're both just kind of athletic freaks that we have on the roster for whatever the hell they can give us.
Yeah, and they're kind of, especially Javonte, he's kind of one of those players that he's just, like, always, he gets set up for what he does. Like, he's a right place, yeah. right time kind of player. Like, he just knows where to be, and like I said, he knows his role. And that's what's most important for teams like this, like, contending teams. Like, that's what made the Celtics so bad last year, is we had so many people that thought they were better than what they were, that wanted to take over the games. But, yeah. like, you need players that just know their role and know, like, what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. And Javonte Green is one of those guys that you want on your team because you put him in and he will do what you ask of him. He's not going to do any extra bullshit. He's just going to do what's asked of him, and he'll do it well, and he'll earn his minutes.
No doubt about it. I'm excited to see what he can do down the stretch. Maybe he can have a couple big games for us. And I know we have 8 games before the playoffs. I'm sure a lot of our starters might not be playing in those games. I'm sure there'll be time for him to get some valuable minutes then.
For sure. I mean, he could have, like, that type of Gerald Green outburst that we saw back in 2017, where we were down 0-2 against Chicago, and Brad Stevens was like, okay, like, we need to do something. And he put Gerald Green in the starting lineup.
Thank you. Oh, man, that hurt.
That one hurt. Yeah, it looked like it hurt. You can't see us, but Liam just let out an amazing sneeze right there, one that went to the record books. I mean, he can be one of those guys, like, listen, he can be thrown in, and he can just, if we need a bucket, hell, maybe he's someone that can go in and give us a few points when we need him. Gerald Green, he, like I said, he started for the Celtics. He had a few, like, he had a 16-point game. I think he had an 18-point game, and they ended up winning 4 straight games. Like,
pretty sure he started at the power forward, too. They took Amir Johnson out for him. Game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they had to change something out going down 0-2 against Chicago. They were the 8th seed. They would have lost to the 8th seed if he didn't do that. So it's like, who knows? Javonte Green could potentially be one of those, be a type of Gerald Green type of player in that situation.
Absolutely. So we were just talking about Kemba. We can move on to that topic. Kemba Walker's knees. So he is officially playing today, which is good. Mm-hmm. It'll be nice just to see him back on the court. but I can't help but have a lot of unnerving feelings towards Kemba Walker. Knees are a very big issue. I've seen them with a lot of great players. We all know what happened to players like Brandon Roy, and Kawhi Leonard clearly still struggles with knee injuries. He's always being load managed. You could see in the playoffs last year, he was playing in shambles. He was dominating. He was the entire team, but he was in so much pain through the whole playoffs, and he missed, I think it was 18 games last year. So
I think he missed like 20. I think he actually missed more than that. But
really?
Regardless, yeah, I think he missed still, like 20 something.
Yeah, exactly. So he missed a ton of time,
same amount of games. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was still having problems with that. How concerned are you about Kemba Walker and his knees? Because he missed some practices when they first got to the bubble. Their first big team scrimmage, Kemba missed. And then he ended up doing the smaller practice the day after that. But it just seems like all the big loads Kemba's taking out. Didn't play the first scrimmage game, missing practices. He's back for this one. But, of course, you said it, and I'm just as certain it'll be in short bursts.
I mean, it's encouraging to see that he's going to play today. Like, I'm happy to see that. But my issue and my worry is that they're rushing him back into things. Like, knee injuries, like, he's had a while. I mean, this has been bothering him since January. And I understand, you know, people were like, he had all this time to get healthy and this and that. Like, some people were like, shame on the trainers, the medical staff. I was like, listen, like, he had no access to the medical staff. Like, all he could have done is just like rest and heal up. And obviously he needed more therapy. He needed more like just ways to get his knee back to full strength. He was on a day in, a day on, day off schedule with practicing. He'd go days where he'd practice in full, not full speed, but like,
yeah,
he'd run the practice and then he'd had the off day. Didn't play the scrimmage. Obviously he says that he's good to go. Like, he's of course,
what is he say, supposed like, I feel to say,
fine. But, I mean, when he was in Charlotte, he missed, like, six games the past, like, 5 years. Like, he just has an unbelievable track record when it comes to staying healthy. So, obviously, I understand, like, this is a new thing for him. Like, he just wants to play. Like, that's just what he's used to doing. I just want to make sure that he is, like, 100% healthy before he starts playing full speed again. Like, I don't want him to play the scrimmage game, a game that doesn't even matter. And when he's hurt, like, when he still has pain in his knee. And then, like, God forbid something happens to make it worse, and then he has to miss regular season games. Like, I just want him to get some reps in. I want him to play, like, during the regular season, obviously, because I want us to get the two seed. I want, you know, the seeding games to go well.
Yeah.
But I just most importantly want him healthy for the playoffs, because that is what's most important. That's when we need Kemba Walker at full strength. If he's playing, I mean, we'll see today. We'll see how he looks today. If he looks good, he looks good. But I just really hope they're not rushing him back into things. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not around the team. So
no,
I really don't know. But, like, if he's good, he's good. But I just really hope they're not rushing him back into it. That's just my two cents there.
100%. I completely agree. You never know with knees. It could be a million different things. Maybe he's got some debris in there that he needs constantly cleaned out. Tendonitis. It could be a million different things.
It's crazy. I feel like the Celtics just have the worst luck with injuries.
It's so annoying.
Like, the last few years, like, Isaiah Thomas with his hip injury, Gordon Hayward, obviously. Even Kyrie Irving, before the playoffs started a few years ago, he had that knee injury and he missed the entire playoffs. I mean, granted, I mean, it worked well for us, but, like, still, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, just the fact that we have a max contract player and he's, like, never had any injuries before come to Boston, and now he's dealing with this. It's just, like, of course. Like,
now it's happening all over again. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the part that upsets me, too. It's, like, you know, obviously, I don't want this to happen to anyone, but it's not like this is happening to, like we just talked about, Javonte Green. This is happening to the guy that we're paying $30 million a year to. So it's just like, you know, we don't want to see that out of our max player, but it's just we'll see how he plays. That's just what we got to see.
Of course. And I'm a little concerned because you said it yourself. He was an Iron Man in Charlotte.
Like, he was, dude.
And I'm afraid we got used goods here, where they just kind of used him up for their useless games and all the shit that didn't matter. He just tried so hard for that franchise and didn't win shit. And now he has the chance to, and I'm afraid he's all spent. And I, on the other hand, don't exactly mind if he misses some regular season games. The seeding game is kind of means a little less to me now that we were talking about the vibe of these games earlier. if we as spectators notice that it's not as intense as former NBA games, like the players are obviously noticing it. All you hear is like the squeaking of the shoes, the occasional players talking, and then like the sound bites at whatever they play. So it is a completely different atmosphere. I wouldn't mind him missing a couple of regular season games, because the idea of basically the big four in Boston, because Gordon Hayward as a fourth option seems unbelievable.
That's what makes them one of the best lineups in basketball. I personally think the Celtics have the best starting five, because there's no team that has a fourth option in their starting lineup that averages over 17 a game.
Oh, 100%.
Like, if you wanted him to, like, Gordon Hayward, his usage rate is so low. Like, if he actually, like, got more touches, he'd be averaging over 20. Like, he just would be, but he's a fourth option.
Yeah, of course. And I can't help but think maybe he would thrive in a Manu-type role coming off the bench. But for the most part, I do like them all in the starting lineup. It gives us a lot of versatility. But Kemba Walker to lead that starting lineup and to get everyone set up, and he's not a Kyrie Irving where he's going to take shots away from them and just keep taking stupid shots. He knows when to pick and choose, when to get his buckets. Late in game, when other players might not be hitting their shots, is when Kemba Walker will be like, all right, I'm going to go and get mine, you know. He's smart in that way, but he's not going to force it. The value of that is too great to risk on. What is it? The two Wizards games, the two Hawks games that we play, and whoever the else we play.
Yeah, the Wizards. Eight games.
So it's like I at least set him for those games against the teams that, like, what, Brooklyn is basically a bunch of G League players and Jamal Crawford now. So it's like those players. Yeah,
we don't got to worry about those games.
Exactly. So Kemba shouldn't be playing in those games for certain. Like that game, we could have we could put Jaylen Brown out there and he'll beat them alone. So I don't want to play any of those games.
Doesn't turn into Jesus Christ again. Oh, and 51 against us. Like, I forgot he went. That was awful. But yes, I completely agree with what you're saying. Like, it's just there are going to be games that we're going to have to go up against teams that we really don't have to worry about, and we're not going to have guys like Kemba Walker, even Gordon Hayward, if we want to give him some rest. I mean, we've kind of talked. I think we talked about. No, it was on my other podcast. We talked about it. Gordon Hayward said that he still feels some discomfort in his foot every once in a while. And it's just like, you know, if that's something that is lingering and like he says, like, hey, like, you know, it's kind of bothering me. We don't have to play him against Brooklyn. We don't have to play him against Washington. Like, we can give guys rest for those games. So what's most important, too, I believe, about, you know, everyone being healthy is that we don't have to worry about the bench coming in and just we're going to have no one being able to provide anything on the offensive end. So if you have Kemba, Jason, Jalen, Gordon Hayward healthy, you can always have one of those guys on the court at all times. So you don't have to worry about, you know, Marcus Smart coming in and having to lead the bench on offense. I mean, he's become a better offensive player, but I trust one of those four guys I just mentioned leading the offense than Marcus Smart.
Significantly more. Yeah. The bench is besides like the lack of a competent big man, which I hope Robert Williams could be, our bench unit is sketchy to say.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I've said all year, like, I say the Celtics are one piece away from being a legit title contender. And I don't mean a piece as in like another star, like another starter. I mean, like, a bench player that can come in and average like 15, 16 points a game.
Yeah.
Like, that is the most ideal player that the Celtics need. And if they can get someone like that, I think they would be like, I think they'd have one of the best rosters. That's the only thing holding them back, their bench.
That's why I wanted them to trade for Tyreek Evans. Was it last year, 2 years ago or something?
A few years ago, yeah. When he was on Memphis or something like that.
Yeah, there were big rumors around him in the Celtics. I was really hoping Ainge would make a move.
I think they wanted like Marcus Smart or something. I think that was what held it back. But that was a few years ago. I was a big Davis Bertans guy. I really wanted him to get traded. But obviously that didn't happen. And he would have gotten paid a lot of money this offseason anyways. So... He's not even playing.
Which is basically why he's holding out.
I guess hindsight's 20/20, so maybe it's a good thing we didn't trade for him. But yeah, I mean, I think that's my personal thoughts. I think they get one more bench player that could average a good amount of points, and they're solid. But so enough about that, Liam. I want to ask you a question now. So I put out – well, I want to get your thoughts. I'm not going to ask you a question. I want to hear your thoughts on this. So I put out a tweet on my Twitter, @DanteOnDeck, a little plug-in for myself.
Course,
a little hot take. my hot take here, and I want to get your opinion. I believe that Jaylen Brown had just as big, if not a bigger jump than Jason Tatum did this season. So my logic behind this take is that, yes, Jason Tatum basically went from a second option playing behind Kyrie last year to being someone that we can consider the top offensive option on a championship contending team. And that is an absurd jump. Yes, I understand that completely. But it's also something that we sort of expected to see from him eventually. Well, maybe not now, but we expected to see it from him, especially, you know, Kyrie was gone. Kemba Walker comes in. Obviously, he's more of a team-oriented point guard than Kyrie ever was. So we had more of an opportunity to do that. And Jaylen Brown, I mean, Jaylen Brown had to deal with much more adversity than Jason Tatum did. I mean, last year, he had to come off. He got benched. He signed that big contract extension, and people were just shitting on him, like he didn't deserve that money, this and that. And he's just improved in just more ways than one last year. Like, he actually has a decent handle now. He can dribble, drive to the basket without losing the ball. He's a much better shooter. He's just I think he's the most consistent player on the team, personally. So I think Jaylen Brown, you just can't ignore the jump that he made, because it's just as significant as a jump that Jason Tatum made. And I think it may be bigger as far as like where he can take the Celtics. Because if it was just Jason Tatum leading the Celtics, that's one thing. But now that you have Jaylen Brown right next to him, making the leap that he did, like those two at the level that they're at, that's what's going to make them tough to beat in the next few years.
Of course. And both of them being drafted basically back-to-back years, they're both around the same age. Was it back-to-back years?
Back-to-back.
So, and they're both, they play the exact same position, but that's not exactly a bad thing. We get a little Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter action going. I really have to think about this one, because you definitely have a strong point. I mean, Jaylen improved from 13 points per game to a little over 20 right now, and his assists and rebound numbers have basically stayed the same. He improved. He has 6 assists instead of 4 last year, and 2 assists instead of 1.5 last year. So he steadily improved across the board. He has been so consistent, almost to a fault. He's didn't really have many blow-up games. I know he had, what was it, 30-point game against?
I think it was against, like, San Antonio or something like that.
Yeah. And he had some really great games. But I don't know, Tatum was just so prolific. And it might help that Tatum did it against big teams like the Lakers, you know? Like, you'll never forget what Jason Tatum did against the Lakers.
Oh, absolutely.
Even, like, when Kemba was out, I think Hayward was out, Kemba was out. Brown might have been out with sickness at that time, too, and Marcus Smart had the eye infection. Jason Tatum just went off against the Bulls, and it was a close game, unfortunately, because no one else was playing. But Tatum completely took over and ended up willing the Celtics to a win in that one. It is very comparable, but I got to say Jason Tatum still made the better improvement. I mean, overall.
I mean, listen, the fact that we even can have this argument is just like a great thing. Like, that's the thing. It's like, there's no really wrong answer. I mean,
you're making me think about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the Jason Tatum had a phenomenal year. Like, obviously, that's without being said. It's just a lot of what he accomplished came in the second half of the year when Kemba Walker started to get hurt, too. So it's like he had that advantage to him. I just think Jaylen Brown from the get-go, I mean, minus the very first game of the year, because he had like 5 fouls in like 10 minutes against the Sixers and like barely even got to play. But then came out next game, just hot next game. And then he's just been consistent all year round. I mean, speaking of Jaylen Brown, he just hit a corner three. Celtics are currently up 7-0 in the scrimmage game. So, I mean, listen, there's no wrong answer there. It's just, I just felt like I'd have to ask you. I mean, it's a hot take for a reason, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's not even that I'm completely disagreeing, because you're right. He has been more consistent all year. I know Jason Tatum even said that after he made an All-Star game, he felt like a weight was lifted from his shoulders. I know that was a goal he really wanted. And once you end up getting something like that, it must feel great for a player. He can kind of let loose. He's made it in a sense, and then he can just go out and do what he always does, and he clearly did that now, averaging 23.6 points per game, absolutely balling out. I love what I've seen from both of them, and if I were to say one was more consistent, I would say Jaylen Brown, but the explosion by Jason Tatum is just so dynamic. I can't get over it. Makes my mouth water.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that we are able to call both of them Boston Celtics, and hopefully we can have them in Boston for many years to come. I mean, it's just, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch both these guys play together because they complement each other so well. Like the fact that they were both able to make the jumps that they did, like together, like just shows how great of teammates they are, how much, how much we have a lot to look forward to, Liam. That's just what I'm trying to say.
So exciting. Very promising future. It seems like both Tatum and Brown are very good friends in their own right. And we have Brown locked up on what I thought was a terrible deal at the time, ends up being a phenomenal deal after this one year. It's so funny how it changes in like 6 months like that. Where a while ago, I remember I was like, damn, like, they gave Buddy Hield the big deal and gave Jaylen Brown that. I was like, geez, that's a lot for Jaylen Brown. And now it's basically nothing because Tatum's about to get a fat contract.
Yeah, he is going to get. If you thought Jaylen Brown was making a lot, wait until you see what Jason Tatum
did.
But that being said, he deserves it.
Of course.
I, for one, like, I'm not trying to get on anyone that said otherwise because I understand where people were coming from at the time. But I, for one, was a fan of the Jaylen Brown contract when it happened because I knew that, you know, last season was a bust for him. Like, he just couldn't get it going. Just, it was the team situation. It of wasn't course. Him.
It was a bust it for was, everyone.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at, like, everyone had a bad year. And it's just, you paid the man based off of potential. Jason Tatum just missed two open mid-range jump shots off two offensive rebounds. So that's how this game's going right now. But we're just happy, you know, everything worked out. Danny Ainge sees into the future. He has magic powers. He just knows.
Apparently.
He knows when things are going to work. People booed Jaylen Brown when he got drafted, and he was just like, well, just wait to see what happens in a few years.
Yeah, and I look like an idiot because I cuss out Danny Ainge every other month, and then we end up right here where I'm like, hey, he did the right thing.
Yeah, you know, Danny Ainge just trust. You got, just, and Danny Ainge, you trust.
Yeah, just keep saying it, screaming from the heavens.
Yep.
All right, so, yeah. But I think that will wrap up this episode.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. That wraps up episode number, I think it's episode 39. Yeah, wow. Episode 39.
Wow. I mean, I haven't been around for 39, but I've been around for a few of them. So that you guys are fucking cooking.
I think I started at 12. I think that's when I took over was episode 12 because there was somebody else before here. But hey, new and improved, much better. Dante, another great episode. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of the Raptors podcast. Hope everyone has a fantastic day. And hop on and watch the Celtics scrimmage right now. What's the score, Dante?
It is currently 8-7 Phoenix. They had just went on an 8-0 run. So, wow.
Damn.
Well, now you
have a game. There we go. All right. Later, everyone.
Peace out.